D-Mace, Vinginen, Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingen, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here at Hermitage Golf Course, and joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. Teron, I was taken by Brian Callahan's tone during his news conference. He's clearly a frustrated coach, and understandably so. He has a quarterback who can't stop turning the ball over. He has an offensive line that can't pass protect. He has a defense that was dissected by his former third-string quarterback. So with all of that being said, what can Brian Callahan and his Titans coaching staff look at if they're looking for some sort of positive as they head into week four against the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, I think they could look at that first drive that they had and look at some of the other early drives they had in the last couple games and take solace in that. But the problem is that first drive, it looked good, but, you know, they had to have six linemen in the game at times, you know, to find success on that drive. And that's something you could continue to do over and over again. They also need to also look at, you know, some of the things the receivers did as far as you look at DeAndre Hopkins catching that pass and breaking the tackle and getting into the end zone. And then Tyler Boyd, you know, that throw that Levis had, Boyd did a very good job of explaining that today, where he kind of wrapped around the linebacker and he said the play was designed for him to go out, but the linebacker drifted to that space, and so he reacted, and Levis was on the same page. That's a good step in the right direction as far as guys being able to communicate and be on the same page without actually talking to each other. That was a good example. That's one of the best positives, actually, to pull from the last 3 weeks.
Ernest Jones said something after the game that caught my attention, because we talked about through 2 weeks the Titans defense ranked first, second, top three, top five, and many key categories. But we were wondering how good this defense could be. The defense had a rough game yesterday, and Ernest Jones said, "We're not playing good football in the spots we need to be. We're playing good football in the spots that we don't." Can you expand on that? What is Ernest Jones talking about when he says that?
Yeah, I think last night or yesterday was a good example of that, right? You know, the third downs. Yeah, they held the Packers, I think it was like 5 or 16 on third downs. But, you know, you look at some of those completions that they had on third downs. I mean, there was a third and 18, a third and 14, third and 7. Like, these are all conversions that shouldn't happen. And they came at times where they really, really needed to get off the field. So he's right. You know, stats can always be twisted and manipulated to create a picture that you want it to. But, I mean, when you look at the big picture, it's not always the one that, you know, a stat could point to. So Ernest Jones, he was right just in how more situationally, like, they have to play better. They have to do that, and it didn't happen.
We're talking with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans' loss yesterday to the Green Bay Packers. Now, something, you know, uncharacteristic happened yesterday, TD, the run defense of the Tennessee Titans. You knew Green Bay was going to come in and try to run the football. Now, Green Bay did a hell of a job at mixing things up, but yet and still, you know, Big Jeff said at the beginning of the week, nobody runs on the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's typically right. But what we saw yesterday, I think, was uncharacteristic of this Tennessee Titans team. Was it? But after talking with Denard Wilson and the other defensive players, was it more scheme that Green Bay ran, or was it more guys wasn't fitting, you know, the proper gaps, or they were missing tackles? Because there were a lot of missed tackles out there.
Yeah, that was the big issue. As you were asking that question, that's what I was thinking about, missed tackles. And I think, you know, that's something that you can't have. And, I mean, there was a time Jamal Adams would have had like a two-yard gain, you know, to the tight end. But the tight end caught it, broke the tackle, and ran 19 more yards. And I believe, no, that wasn't on a third down, but it was a second and pretty long, you know, and it got them back in front of the chains. So that's an example. But then also, you know, in talking to Jeffrey Simmons, after the game, one of the things that he said was, you know, and it's very brave, like, and but it's direct, right? You know, they didn't create the law. They allowed a hole to develop, and they didn't swarm to the football. And as a result, you know, you saw that happen. Malik Willis had a run, you know. Emmanuel Williams had a couple long runs. And these were all to the outside. So they got to get better at containing. And that's what Ernest Jones Jr. spoke about, you know, outside containing the guys doing their job. And they also said they have to hold each other accountable.
Now, TD, do you think they are losing faith? Do you get a sense of after the game? I know there's frustration there. I mean, it should be the way they've lost all three of their games. But do you get a sense from talking to guys that they're sort of losing a little bit of trust in Will Levis?
No, I don't get that sense. And I had a very interesting back and forth with DeAndre Hopkins, the doctor, you know, when I was asking him. And, you know, he said that basically people that think, you know, Levis is the problem, they don't know football, right? And he said that, you know, as receivers, they have to make better plays for their quarterback. He also said, you know, it's not all on Will, right? You know, Jeffrey Simmons, when I asked him about Levis, he said, well, it's hard for him to, you know, make plays if he doesn't have time to throw the football. So guys understand that it isn't all just on Levis, and they're not losing patience in him at all.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, I've got a question philosophically about the defense. I'm reading all of this stuff, and Brian Callahan started talking about it last week. So many defenses are playing the two high safeties, making teams work to get down the field, and they're being effective. Right now, I think it's sort of the trend in the league that the scoring is still a little bit down. But you have the Titans with this new defense that's trying to be more aggressive. They're blitzing more. Why do you think they're not getting more dynamic plays? Because if they're going to play this way, it's clear that they've got to have some more tackles for losses, some tips that turn into interceptions, some sacks, things like that. What do you think is the missing ingredient there?
I mean, that's tough to put a finger on it. There's a lot of different things. I think the pass rush could actually be better, right? They're not, like I said, you know, third downs. There's times where, you know, things break down. And you look at the deep pass to Calvin Watson, Christian Watson, for, you know, 37 yards on 3rd and 18. You know, he ran what you call like a transcontinental cross. You know, like he ran a very deep cross, and he went from right to left, and he just gradually got the depth that he needed, and he crossed over Ernest Jones, who was dropping back, and then Snead wasn't able to get there either, and it was a big catch. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that's happening. There's just one general one that you can just say, hey, this is it. I think, it's just a breakdown all across the board on defense.
It also looked like there were times where the aggressiveness was used against them. And I think you got to give the Packers a lot of credit for sensing this and the right play call at the right time, but I feel like there are some key plays where the aggressiveness, the over pursuit, has caught up to them.
Yeah, I mean, you had that. You had, they struggled to defend RPO, the runs out of RPOs, right? You had that. There were times where guys did run themselves out of position, too. So, yeah, I mean, all of the above.
Teron, I want to ask this one about Malik Willis, because I think you have a very good sense of his arc from start to finish. I could not be more happy for him as a person, because one thing I always noticed about him when he struggled, when he was with the Titans, he always had an outstanding attitude to the point where you're like, man, nothing's going to crack this guy. He still is going to keep coming back for more. But honestly, I did not think he was capable of playing at the level that he played yesterday. Did you think he was capable of that when they traded him?
No, I didn't. I mean, that was nearly flawless what he did yesterday. You look at, you know, the fade earlier, the slot fade that he threw to Christian Watson. You know, he called that. That was on him. You know what I mean? He canned the play that they had, and he checked to that. And it takes confidence, and it takes, you know, belief to do something like that. You look at just the throw that he made and the trust that they had on third and 18, that other throw that I mentioned to Watson, you know, the trust. They didn't call just a, you know, hey, let's run a dive or a screen pass and get out of dodge. They said, no, we're going to go for it. We believe in you. We're going to let you make a play on third down and third and forever. And I think, you know, those are the things that really showed up in this game. And it's really, really cool. And it's something that we talk about a lot, the confidence. When a player knows that his organization and everybody has confidence in him, and when he has confidence in himself, I mean, look, these guys are all capable, all the way down to Sean Clifford, people make fun of. They're all capable, but that confidence, it takes them even further. I think that's what happened in that game. And, I mean, he played flawless football. I mean, he looked, you know, 120 passer rating for people who use that. I mean, the guy had 73 rushing yards. That was the most by a Packers quarterback in a single game since 1990 when Don Majkowski did so. So, like, we're talking about things that are pretty different, you know?
The old magic man, the pre-Favre days, Majkowski. Teron, I want to ask one about Skoronski because I think we could all say that Nicholas Petit-Frere, given the circumstances, lost year last year, suspension injury, missed all of the offseason program. You could see that he could struggle with what he's up against this year, and he is struggling. It is a worst-case scenario. He's not overperforming expectations at all. But the one that's alarming to all of us, I think, is Peter Skoronski, because it looks like he's in a better position to succeed, and yet he's struggling a lot right now. What do you think's going on with him?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. He's definitely struggling, and it's frustrating to watch because this guy was a highly drafted player. Obviously, you know, not a premium position traditionally, but, you know, and the way things are going in the league, that interior pocket is important. It's just, you know, there's people who say, hey, go ahead and stick him out at guard. And at tackle. And I say, watch him at guard. And if you remember the first game, footwork was an issue. So if his footwork has been an issue at guard, what the heck makes you think he's going to be able to play tackle? You know, so I think he should remain at guard, but it just, they have to figure out ways to get through and get him on track because it's not good. You know, even in this past game, you know, there was at least one sack that you could attribute to him from Devontae Wyatt. So it's not good.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Monday at 1 o'clock. Teron, thanks for catching up. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Our pleasure. Teron Davenport always bringing the hard-hitting, insightful analysis. I always learn something about football every time I listen to Teron Davenport.
Let me tell you what separates Teron. And I think especially on days like this where I really like tuning in to what he's saying specifically because he really takes the time over a long period of time to build and have conversations with players. And a great example, and D-Mace, I think it was you that sent the clip yesterday, and he referred to it right there. The conversation he had with DeAndre Hopkins after the game. Very down to earth. Back and forth, DeAndre was in a conversation because it was Teron asking the questions. He was comfortable talking to Teron, and you got a real answer with detail. It was a back and forth. Teron was saying, look, I want you to articulate this perspective because you know it, and I think you got a lot better answer than you would have if it were maybe somebody else. I'm not singling anybody out because I think the media has done a really good job covering this team. This team is being covered very well. But Teron has a unique ability, I think, to get into good conversational talk with players that not everybody can break through to.
615-737-1025. We'll continue our conversation on the Titans 30-14 losers against the Green Bay Packers to fall to 0-3 on the season. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 1025-1063, the game.